The Comedy Store would like you to know that the views and opinions expressed on this podcast are strictly those of the speakers or authors and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions held by the Comedy Store and its affiliates.
But we were taught, we were just talking, you said you showcased in 98?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was telling her that when the Comedy Store was up, when it was down, when it was lukewarm, when it was hot again, and now it's hot again, you guys were the only one that stood here through the whole time.
We were here through
you
it
were
all
in that video when Joe Rogan and Carlos Mencia had a
thing. Oh, yeah.
You were in the last video imitating Argus Hamilton outside.
Yep. That was my claim to fame for
somewhere.
Years.
He's around here somewhere. Right
people
now
are always performing. Like, so I watched that Joe Rogan video, and I'm like, yeah, I know. Yeah, at the end, when you see, I'm like, yeah, I get it. And the great part about it is that it's a video of Joe Rogan confronting Carlos Mencia about stealing jokes.
Oh, God, yeah.
And then the video closes with me
you.
Stealing Argus Hamilton jokes. Just straight stealing his act. But
perfect.
What are you going to do?
That's how it is.
I was thinking, you know, like, because I live in a valley now. And
coming
I was like
up.
Googling earthquakes. And then,
oh, shit.
Northridge earthquake was 94.
Yep.
I went home that night. I was doing the potluck.
Yeah.
Here at the Comedy Store, I think this comic was up. There was this dog, the Todd, I think
yes,
his name was.
Yes, the Todd. You remember Bark Dog?
Yeah, Bark
Dog. Oh, my
dog.
God. No one ever remembers Bark Dog. Dog. I used to
and,
watch him
and
all
I was
the time.
Sitting there and...
Creepy the Todd?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
He was walking with just sweats, probably, and big t-shirt. Yeah. Probably had no underwear.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Maria Martinez right. was sitting next to me, and she said... See, this kind of bullshit happened when Missy's not here. People bringing their fucking dogs.
Yeah.
It's so true. But
so is this pre-Todd having a full breakdown?
Yeah, he had.
He was just creepy.
He had like a lobotomy. So, yeah, he lost it. Rick
damn.
Met him when
I only knew
shit went
completely insane
wrong way.
The Todd. He, my introduction was his mom showing up here and being like, my son Todd is lost. I'm thinking like a little kid. And then someone's like, yeah, that guy's, he's old. And I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, he's that guy in the headshot with Robin Williams. I'm like, wait, why is his mom here then? Because he's like 30-something
his
in the headshot.
His sister is a huge producer. She works with Laverne. What's her name? Penny Marshall.
Oh,
Penny
yeah.
Marshall.
I said Lenny Marshall because I'm an idiot. But you know
legend.
What I'm saying.
Lenny Marshall. But then that dude showed up at the end of the night. And he's completely crazy. I went to turn the lights off in the backstage in the main room, and when I turned the lights on to switch off the fuses, he was just standing in the dark in the corner, staring
imagine.
At the corner.
It's frightening.
And I was like, what the fuck? But I guess he escaped Don Barris.
Yeah.
He was hanging with Don Barris and then wandered off.
Wait, I have a question, because I was here during the Northridge earthquake. And
you were at the
Monday?
Comedy Store?
Yes. And I was, Carlos was on stage, Mencia, and I was like, fuck. And Mitzi used to make us stay until the comic got off, and he was on until like 3:30, and then I went home and his fucking half hour was on HBO, and I was like, this motherfucker,
fuck
I
damn.
Can't escape him. And then that happened, and I woke up like a, because I was kind of still new out of Philly, so I woke up like swinging a bat thinking somebody was breaking in, and that was the scariest fucking thing. And I blame Carlos for that earthquake as well. So
he damaged it.
Well, you know,
he ruined it.
6.0.
Did you ever work with him?
No, I never worked with him at all.
You're lucky.
Only when
one
he
of
hosted,
the lucky ones.
Only when he hosted some show for Jeff Valdez back in the days. And he was the host, but
yeah.
That was it. I never really like opened for him or had to follow him, but only at the Laugh Factory, he did like 2 hours.
Oh, shit.
So the 10 o'clock show started late.
Oh, of course.
That's
of
the
course.
Only time we really worked together.
Classic move on his part.
No, that's fine, because he would do a lot of those Latino whatever festivals, this, that, and that. But Valdez, remember when Joe Diaz
you
knocked him
that?
Out at Maryland's Maryland's
oh, that was the guy?
Memorial?
The first time I ran, like, I saw him, like, do, it was 1996, and we were doing the Latino Laugh Festival in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
Freddie Soto, myself,
yeah, sure.
And Darren Carter.
Was Holtzman on that one?
Yes. I'll get into the story because...
Wait, Darren Carter was in the Latino...
Yes,
yeah,
and Brian
huge.
Holtzman.
Okay.
Because Jeff Valdez liked him. And so Carlos Mencia wasn't supposed to do the Latino Laugh Festival because it was showtime and he had an HBO deal, so he couldn't be a
right.
part of it. But he decided to fly himself over there and still crash the show.
What a fucking ass.
After Freddie Soto got off. No, I got off the stage. Then Johnny Sanchez got off. Then they were like changing the batteries for the camera or something or the film. And then Mencia does a guest set. And right after Freddie Soto. And they're trying to get off. You know, like, yeah. we're taping a show here. So he does this long set, and then after that, Brian Holzman has to follow him.
Oh, so that's what, you know, Brian never told us that? I mean, he told me what happened.
He had to follow him, so the crowd was like already beat up, you know, they were done. And then Brian Holzman opens up with, this is not a comedy show. I brought the immigration, it's a bust. Close the door, everybody going back to Mexico. Boo! Oh my God, dude, they were to kick his ass.
They booed him. It was awful. It was talking about leaf blowers and shit. The worst stereotypical shit.
Legend.
I got to.
That's on film.
Dude, every story I've ever heard about Holtzman doing any show outside of LA, it's always the worst.
And he had his mom with him that weekend.
Of course.
His mom, him and his mom. I got to hang out with him and his mom, you know, like a third wheeling. We were riding a boat together.
Yes.
Third wheeling. Then he threw him in. He even threw a bit about her. Yeah, my mom's right here, man. She got arrested for stealing fucking souvenirs from the Alamo.
From the Alamo.
She wanted to take back the Alamo.
Oh, man.
So it was tough on him, that set. But he made it his. Because, cool, you know, there was nothing else to do. So he just, you know, I'm going to make the comedian laugh.
Yeah. How? Yeah, because Freddie and Johnny, I mean, they came running back to report that. I mean, Freddie, I think,
they
called
me from
there screaming, laughing.
They were pissed. I don't know what's going on. I was new. Yeah. I was accepting it. Like, okay, that's how comedy works then.
Yeah.
People pop. How long do you think Carlos did?
I think half an hour, 35 minutes. But we're all doing 7.
Yeah, it was like a short, like,
yeah, they're filming, so
Comedy Central kind of presents thing, like short sets like that. Yeah, fuck. And I forgot Darren Carter was such a big kind of a staple. He would do a lot of Latino rooms,
a lot
everywhere.
Was it the beatboxing
and the Snoop Dogg? When I first met him,
thought he was mixed.
Me too. They brought him up. This guy's going to be on Showtime. Whoa, Showtime. He must be huge. Then I'm on the same plane with him. Where are you going? He goes, I'm going to do a Showtime show. Me too. Okay.
not as impressive.
Well, he's like, wait, we're on the same.
He was still the Red Rooster back then.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Shady Side.
Yeah. What year did you start doing comedy?
I started I started like off and on, like either a little bit of 93, a little bit of 94, quit for a year. Because I had a baby.
Oh, okay.
Then I came back in November of 95. Then I got a TV credit in 96.
With the
Latino Laugh Festival. Oh, Jeff Valdez hooked me up, you know. Like,
yeah,
I never complained.
Yeah.
So he put me on every show. Every single show he did.
Well, yeah, if you're not going to complain about Carlos coming in.
Or don't complain about how much people get paid.
Or not paid.
I was just happy, you know, like. I was a little kid. I was just taking whatever.
Hey, what up? Yeah, let's
all right,
do
I'll go with you guys.
Yeah. That's how I ended up on tour with Pauly Shore. I was just like, this is cool. How
isn't
exciting.
Cool?
And then after a while, you're like, I don't think this is as cool as I thought it was.
I don't think this is right. This can't be legal.
Why am I going back to Tampa again?
Ybor City? I hate cigars.
Ybor, yeah. That's where it fucking was.
Is that where Pauly goes? Is that a real place?
There's an improv in Ybor City.
That's hilarious.
And it's, dude, they got the most strip clubs per capita here, dude. I'm like, I've never been to a strip club. What? That's to this day, every strip club I've ever been to is with Pauly.
Well, if you're going to do it.
They're like, dude, Pauly, you can come in, but, you know, after last time, you got to keep your pants on this time, dude. I'm like, sweet.
Yeah, there's a lane of strip bars on Ybor Street.
Oh, okay.
And there's one place where it's built like a planet or a spaceship, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you go to I think it's like VIP, the top of the spaceship inside the strip bar.
Because
Fluffy went on top. Gabriel Iglesias.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He made it
Gabriel
to the top
too.
Of the
he got
spaceship. I was on the bottom, you know.
You just stay.
That's why I always had to stand with the manager and talk to that guy. Well,
that sucks.
The babes talk to Pauly.
I thought I was the only one that did that. You know, when the big superstars over there hanging out with everybody, and I got to hang around with the other people, like the managers, yep. the cooks, yep. making them laugh. Hey, man. Hey,
that's always me.
I'm happy to be
the,
here, too.
I'm always yeah. in the kitchen. I don't know why. Maybe, I don't know. Yeah, that's I feel how, more comfortable that's how it always in the ended kitchen.
Up. The girls would come over and be like, hey, you want to dance? I'd be like, I don't have any money. And they'd just look at you like, oh, goodbye. And then I got the, so you, is Paulie pretty cool, man? Does he like the movies? And I'd be like, no, not really.
Yeah. Did you and Gabriel do a show together?
Yeah, Gabriel Iglesias and I, I met him when he first wanted to do stand-up comedy mm-hmm. because I had that room in Montebello.
Yeah.
The Wild Coyotes, Tortillas. And he comes in, shy, sits to the side, and he brings this thug, this cholo, this gangster, Mexican gangster with tattoos on his head, all over his body, and he walks up to me like tough, you know, oh. What's up, man? And I'm from the hood too, man. I said, what's up? I thought it was gonna be a fight.
Yeah, sure.
What's up? He goes, my friend over there wanted to do comedy. And by this time I was like, wow, you tell your friend to come over here, man. I have to bring his messenger.
Yes.
So he comes in all shy. I wanna do stand up. And I said, you're next, bro.
Hell yeah.
He went up on stage and he did well. He killed. He's been killing ever since. And I got him his first road trip gig.
You really are responsible for him because he used to do an imitation of you.
But it was funny,
it was
huh?
Hilarious.
Yeah, on his first special.
Yeah,
he did.
It was fucking amazing.
I mean, his first special was his 30-minute half-hour special was set up perfectly by Comedy Central.
Yeah,
because they flew me out, so I got to be his warm up before he went up.
Hilarious.
So by that time, the audience and
they already knew you.
Already knew who I was. Yeah. So when you threw the reference, then my friend Felipe, who you just saw, so then everybody,
what a fool. Yeah.
Everybody thought it was make believe.
Everybody thought it was make believe.
No, they didn't know. To this day, when I tell them I'm the guy he talks about, oh, you are real. Yeah, I'm a real person. Yeah. I was fired from the gigs in 2004.
Oh shit! Yeah.
I turned into a diva.
Everybody does.
I'd rather be a diva on someone else's show than be a diva with my show.
Okay.
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
I just try and always stay diva. Always.
Pure diva, Rick is.
Yeah.
He gets
that's how
bitchy.
I manage to make sure I never get anywhere in this town. Big attitude, little response.
Nice.
That's what it's all about.
I think that's what helped me, like, in the beginning, not to be, like, sad or worried about where I'm going in this career, you know?
Yeah.
But I miss those times, you know, when you don't know what's going to happen 10 years from now.
Oh, shit.
When you're just performing every night and,
like,
you know, getting laid
and
getting high and having fun. But I was glad that a lot of people did help me, you know, like take me with them. Like Paul Rodriguez took me.
Paul, yeah, I remember.
George, Russell Peters, Gabriel Iglesias.
Yeah.
Did you ever
do a half hour?
Who?
Did you ever do a half hour special?
Only
but you have an hour coming out,
an hour
correct?
on Showtime for Scott Montoya.
Yeah. That was a long time ago?
Yeah, it was in 2012. It happened so fast.
Yeah.
I was talking to Alex Raimundo.
Mm-hmm.
He was managed by Scott.
Alex? Yeah.
And we were doing a show in D.C. And he goes, yeah, I want to do a 1 hour special, but I don't know how to do it. He goes, well, if you want to do it, I'll talk to Scott. And the next day he called me. He goes, Felipe, you want to do an hour special in 2 weeks? I didn't have time to prepare or nothing.
That's Montoya for
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Come on, man. I got the venue. Hurry up before they kick us out.
2 weeks.
Fucking idiot,
so,
man.
The material that I did was all my jokes that I've been doing for the last 15 years. I should have called it like Sanford. I'm telling you for the last time. But all my YouTube stuff, it's on a special, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I didn't have time to write.
Of course.
So I just did what I knew.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks with, you know, somebody you think is like looking out for you.
They taped three specials that day.
Of course.
I was last. The first one was Bobcat Goldthwait. Mm-hmm. And the second one, I forgot his name. And the third one was me.
Nice. See how you forgot that person's name? They're nobody. That's
Paul liked me because Paul Rodriguez, he came to visit us in El Paso.
Mm-hmm.
And every time Paul Rodriguez would show up to the Laugh Factory, I didn't drink back then. So I would use my drink ticket to give it to Paul.
Oh.
I was the bartender. What's Paul's drink?
That's a good bribe.
Irish coffee. All right. Make me one. So then I go over there like Spider from Goodfellas. Here, Mr. Rodriguez. Here's your drink, sir. I'm going to go sit down, leave you alone. So I would just give him his drink and step away, you know.
Damn.
And walk away, leave him alone. And one day he showed up to El Paso and he took us to Mexico.
Okay.
Wow. And I was scared because I had no green card at the time. You know, I lost everything. And I was like, I'm going to have to lie on the way back. I don't want to say, no, I can't go.
Yeah. Were you born here or there?
I was born in Mexico.
Yeah.
And when we get to Mexico, first of all, it was late, like 1. And Paul Rodriguez, just after our show, he just crashed our show. You guys want to go have tacos? 3 Mexican guys. What are those things, hey? Are they good? Yeah, of course. But then Gabriel says, everything's closed, Paul. It's 1 o'clock. And Paul looked at him and goes, everything's closed if you only have $5 in your pocket.
Okay.
Damn. So he took us to Mexico. Fuck. And we ordered. And then Paul was like real famous. Like in those areas, he liked Muhammad Ali.
Oh, shit.
Like that famous, that with the older people, like people point at him. They don't know. They just point Pablo.
Yeah, yeah.
They love him. So when we get to Mexico, we're eating tacos. And then we're like waiting in line to come back. And they pull us over the border patrol. Because we had a van full of Mexicans.
Right.
And, and there's a picture of us. We're all like this. They're asking where you guys from. And we all said, American citizen. Everybody American citizen? Yeah, yeah, we are American citizen.
Damn.
We crossed the border. We made it fine. The next day, he takes it to a strip bar.
Nice.
And he's making out with the strip
different
bar.
Different tacos.
He's making fish tacos. He's making out with some chick. And then
is a huge violation of the rules.
Giant.
I don't know why you'd ever make out.
Yeah, they were all over her, and then I had some chick, but then I ran out of money, so you know she was done with me.
Yep.
So I had to watch again, you know, talk to the security guard.
Back to hanging out with Rick and the manager.
So how long you been working here, bro? Oh, a long time, bro. Yeah, that's Paul right there having a good time.
Cool, huh?
That's Fluffy over there getting a hug.
That's Fluffy giving
me and you getting fist bumps right here. So Paul's taking off, and then he's kind of buzzed, man. So I had a Viagra that I've been saving for like a month.
Nice.
For a good occasion for me.
Sure.
Okay.
So then I said,
how old are you?
I was like 30.
Damn.
Viagra? No, but I was, you know, just want to.
Yeah, it's like
the older,
you know?
Yeah, it's the older and as easy.
It's like steroids,
yeah,
you know?
Right. Yeah,
steroids,
yeah.
You know?
I just want to fucking.
It gives you fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what? Paul, here you go, man. So I get a Paul Rodriguez. Go, thank you. He goes, you need it more than me. So I give it to him. We're in the car with the stripper, Gabriel Iglesias, and the stripper's young. She goes, oh, man, my mom's a big fan of you, Paul. She used to watch A.K. Pablo. She saw the Kings of Comedy. His age was coming out.
Oh, shit.
You know, and then Paul Rodriguez tells Gabriel, I heard you've been imitating me now. What'd you? Yeah. Okay, man. Talk to her mom for me. So the girl called her mom on the phone. Oh, so Gabriel is imitating Paul Rodriguez. You know, consequently, while Paul is making out with that chicken.
That's hilarious. Does he do a good Paul Rodriguez?
Awesome,
I don't know
Paul
if I. Because I know he does good imitations.
He does a good Paul.
Impressions?
Wow. Impressions.
Yeah. I guess imitations
in my head,
is the
I
same
was
thing.
Like, wait,
that's
is that right?
Right. I think that's right.
Yeah.
I don't know how he does Paul because Paul always starts off with a huge word. His sentence is like, consequently, you know, and what happened over there in depression.
Why does this, that sounds like a black guy's impression of white people.
I work at a bank.
That's a good Casey Kasem.
Yeah, that's like our Rick's radio voice. Sometimes we do like a little radio bullshit.
Paul takes me in the airport. We're in the plane. He goes, man, my dick was hard like times in the South. And he points at me. You, my man, will never go hungry in this business.
I love that.
So after that, he took me along.
He took you everywhere.
He
You're
took
like
me to Gamble.
Fucking-
he took me to Reno.
You say it like that was exciting.
Yeah, it was good.
I never been anywhere.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I get it.
San Antonio was my first time flying.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
for real?
I never been anywhere, man. And my first time in Reno, he calls me up. What is this about you complaining about your room? I said, I'm not complaining about my room. I'm not complaining. You know, I just got here. You will when you see my room. And you hung up.
Son of a bitch.
Where was Silver Legacy?
Silver Legacy.
Yeah, that's a killer.
Cinco
they
de Mayo.
Nice suites. Oh, nice. Did you guys do the big room?
The big room, yeah.
Yeah, that's a kid. The Laugh Factory's in there now.
Yeah.
The little comedy club is in the Silver Legacy.
And there's another one too, Underground Cafe. Underground Comedy Club.
Oh, yeah. A couple of my friends were doing that one, but I was at the Laugh Factory. And then there's also the Improv in Tahoe, but...
I won. I actually, I stayed at the Silver Legacy in Reno one time. I drove up there, my college.
Oh, I was going to say for fun? Fuck.
Well, yeah, really? my college was in a basketball tournament. My family was out there. So I drove up to go there, and I won like $600 on slots.
Did you get like, robbed immediately?
No, I was just so shocked. I was like...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
23 or 24, and I put in, you know, $5 or whatever, and I played for like 2 minutes, and then it won. And I, to this day, I don't understand what the winning is sometimes. Like, I just did the 20 lines or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
you
I pulled
like,
it.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
how much you bet versus what you get.
It wasn't like there was like three cherries across or something. I obviously won on some other cross pattern, but it just kept ringing, and then... It just made noise like there was change coming out.
Ew.
And then they came over and they were like, we need to see your ID. And I'm like, okay. I gave him my ID.
That was yesterday. Look how young he looks. He looks like a little boy. I love it.
But it was great. I then won $600. I'm like, I'm so glad I met my family in Reno because this does not seem...
$600.
Yeah, that was big time.
It only cost $50 to stay in Reno. Reno is cheap, man. You can have fun in Reno, though.
Yeah,
the little creepy spots, you know, trucky.
It's dirty
and all that.
There,
yes,
man.
Dirty, filthy. What was that reality show? Not reality, skit. Reno 911. Dude, I've watched that and I was like, oh, this is so cute. And then I went to Reno. I'm like, oh, fuck, this is a documentary. Yeah. This is how bad it is.
It's bad. When I was working at that place my first time there, I didn't know there was a river.
Yeah, yeah.
I did not know that. So I just saw this blonde girl walking at like 11, 10 in the morning with just a bathing suit.
Yeah.
Blonde, you know, beautiful. Mm-hmm. And she was wearing sandals. And I was like following like two a block behind her. Like,
that's not frightening at all.
I was a block behind her. Like, I don't know, where is she going, man? Like, is she working? What's going on? It's pretty early.
You're like, shit, it's legal here. I might as well follow her.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's legal in Reno. Yeah.
Then she disappeared over there by Circus, and I went back to my room. Then I was telling people, man, I saw this girl with a bathing suit, man. Oh, bro, there's a fucking river over there. She probably got dumped or something.
Yeah, yeah. Forget. Yeah, they have the tubing, everything.
Yeah, they were tubing.
Going there, it's frightening. People's dogs are, you know, you're doing the backstroke and you're hitting a pit bull, meth head's pit bull.
Those people don't even have tubing, like real tubes.
Yeah, it's like white trash. It's scary.
I don't know.
No, you can shit on everybody.
Mexicans, we know how to raft. You know, we were rafting our whole lives.
And you're usually in fully dressed.
Fully
when
dressed.
You're in the fucking ocean.
I saw
the
the redneck family, four mama, papa, and two kids on one of the inflatable beds.
Yes.
An inflatable bed.
I'm telling you, it's that bad in Reno. He's right.
That's beautiful.
They're so weird. And most of them are homeless, too. There's a lot of homeless, young, white, homeless.
Yeah,
and
it's creepy
dogs
town.
Just running around like pit bulls. I'm like, the fuck do these guys have pit bulls for?
Yeah.
With a string. No leash, just a string.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That
they
may or may
not. I worry about
up.
The leash. You don't care if that dog runs away forever.
No,
you gotta
cares.
Give it a chance.
Fuck yeah.
It
needs a life.
I did that improv in South Lake Tahoe, and one of the other comics I was performing with was like, hey, we should go up to Reno and do something. I'm like, why would we do that? I'm not going to do that.
But Tahoe's boring.
And he was like, well, I don't have a car. I'm like, I don't see how this is my problem. I do have a car, and it's staying in
with?
South Lake Tahoe. I was with, I can't remember the dude's name. It was Howie, the normal guy, and then I can't remember the headliner. That's kind of right. A blindish black guy.
Blindish black guy?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Stevie Wonder.
I wish.
Kind of comic. Can you imagine?
Wow.
He was funny, too. I can't remember his name, though. But
not Charlie Cozart.
No. Oh. I just know he's legally
blind.
He
just used to wear glasses. Like, do you remember Charlie Cozart? Mm-hmm. Black guy? He used to wear sunglasses all the time.
No, this dude, he had thick glasses.
Yeah, he was really...
He had been punched in the face or something, and then he didn't do anything about it. Everyone was like, you need to go get that checked. And he was like, I'm a man, so I didn't do anything. And then he went blind in the eye.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's one hell of a punch.
Yeah. And now I know he tours a lot in Canada because he kept telling me about...
Is that where he's from?
No, no. I think he moved up there because he gets more comedy work. But
oh, there you go. Well, like, they like blind black guys up there.
That's what Canada's known for.
Can't see how white
for.
They are.
He has no idea.
Can't see any of this maple syrup. Come on up here.
Does that old man still perform here and close out the show?
Robert William Epifaya? Yeah. Yeah, people have been begging us to get him on the podcast, but...
He's not weird. He's weird. He's not. He,
the smell is hard, though.
Yeah.
Like he's
he wears
full
like these
blown,
napkins, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he wears
yeah,
paper black bags.
Plastic.
Ralph bags.
Yeah. Like, plastic Ralph bags to protect him from the
something.
The First Amendment shield or something.
I remember when he went up late and the Dice Man was there and the guy that does the Ding Dong Show.
Don Barris.
Don Barris. Yeah, yeah. And I guess the Todd was sitting somewhere. And
oh, yeah. Him and Don Barris and the Todd used to do a lot of shows.
Yeah, so these
together.
Guys, I guess they know him personally. And I was just, me and Gabriel were watching the show, and he goes up, and they start blocking his way to get out.
Yep.
They start putting chairs all over the place.
That's called tormenting.
Yeah, and they're saying a word to him that only
Nazis
that they know.
Something.
Dig
oh,
him,
yeah.
Dig him, dig him, or something like that. I don't know what
oh,
it was.
Oh, shit.
I don't know what it was. But they kept saying
buttons. He used
buttons,
to steal
yeah.
buttons. Yeah.
Buttons. They kept saying buttons. And then like, the whole audience got into it. Buttons. And man, he was freaking out. Like, he didn't know where. I felt bad for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I did
he had
too.
He had to hurdle.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And I felt like, and I was like, I've been bullied, right? And I was like, well, this is pretty much bullying right now.
Oh, it's giant yeah. bullying. Yeah, yeah. But
yeah, when I showed up, I just didn't understand at first. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Why is everyone fucking with this guy? And so then I just went and sat in the front row and just laughed at everything he did. And then he just kept getting this real creepy giant smile, like he's finally connecting with someone. And then Don came up to me and was like, I keep it up. He loves that. And then I'm like, all right. And so then I keep smiling like, oh, that's a great joke. Next thing you know, Don Barris has picked me up over his head and throwing me at Robert.
At Robert. Threw a person at him.
And I'm flying through the air just like, whoa, this dude is strong as fuck. And then I improvise, oh, Eric, I'm so sorry that the Nazis are attacking you because you're a fan of mine. And I'm like, yeah.
For some reason, he called him Eric.
He
never
always
got
thought,
Rick.
No matter what, no matter how many times I told him that wasn't my name, he'd be like, oh, all right, Eric, I'll make sure I call you that in the future.
He likes weed, though, that guy.
Loves
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I was smoking with Yorsey, and then Yorsey left like a half a blunt right there, laying there. And he called him, and after we left, he came back and got it.
Yep.
You, usually, if you give it to him, he won't take
no,
it.
No,
he's
no,
not
no.
allowed to take gifts. So yeah. if he finds it, that's different. Like, Mitzi used to give him bus money back and forth to the store because she felt bad for him.
Yeah.
So he always got a little envelope that he was allowed to take from here because it was considered pay.
Hey, yeah.
Because he was going on.
He would take weed from me. That was the only thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I gave him a ride once. Still can't get that out of my
yeah,
car.
Yeah, that smell's staying. Now, yes. I would give
that
him
was
a little,
in 94. Dude. Seriously.
I'd give him a little canister. It would have like two buds in it. But it was like good weed. And then I'd be like, hey, Robert, this is extra if you want. Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I remember we tried to give him a jacket one time, and it was like we were fucking setting him up.
Yeah, something. Because that's about the button thing.
Yeah.
That goes back to the buttons. There's a whole thing. And Don Barris would bring a case of buttons in and shake it, and he would lose his fucking mind. And I'm like, oh, my God. I don't know what the buttons represent, but I was just a waitress
terrified.
Back then, so I felt bad for him. So I would, like, talk to him all the time. So he loves me. He'll watch my stand-up now, and he's like, he'll give me tags. Like, he's so sweet.
Potluck.
What year did you showcase here? You said
98, I think.
Oh, wow. And you showcased for Mitzi.
Yeah, I had. I think it was Johnny Sanchez who put in a
oh,
good
my
word
godson.
For me.
Yeah.
And and when I was showcasing for her, it was Marilyn Martinez sitting next to her.
Smart.
And Cheryl Shepherd sitting on the other side mm-hmm. to keep Goulden and
Goulden
away
Goulden
from her.
And Lemaire would and sit and talk
yes,
to
an
her.
Asian guy. I don't forget his name.
Peter Chen.
Peter Chen.
We all hate Peter
fucking
Chen.
Everybody, how come everybody?
I lose face. I'm so hungry. I get so hungry. Dude, this guy, I've always been cool with people, you know, if they're funny, like if I know somebody who's booking a show, like people like that,
sure.
I'll just give them a show just to like, you know,
be cool.
Be yeah. cool. And I could just say, at least I did something for that guy.
Yeah.
And, but Peter, man, he just freaked. Every show I ever booked him, man, he freaked everybody out.
Yeah.
I can't believe you booked him. That is so yeah, nice.
You
of
are like the nicest human being.
I knocked him out. I fucking hate Peter Chen.
I saw him.
I'll fight him right now.
Him and Goulden were about to throw fist blows right here. Well, you fucking bitch. I don't suck dick for spots.
You don't have to suck a dick. It's a clit. You got the wrong thing.
And then, he's all, dude, Gilbert Escobar, I guess, told me, do you know an Asian guy? Yeah, I know the guy named Peter Chen. I'll book it. He'll do it for $200. Bro, he'll do it for $50 in a burrito. So I get to give him two. So Gilbert Escobar performing on stage, Peter Chen is going around all the tables getting everybody's aluminum cans.
That was it.
He was taking, you finished with that Coke? He'll take the Coke. And every time Gilbert Escobar got an applause break, he smashed the can.
Damn.
So applause break.
What the fuck?
Applause break. And then finally Gilbert said, yo, Peter, you need more money, bro? From the stage. Oh, no, very good. I'm good.
Oh, he's the worst.
Oh, what a piece of shit.
And
I
then
can't.
At the Wild Coyotes, the waitress there would put the leftover from everybody in that little cart, the food cart, the leftovers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Peter was going up next, and he was standing next to the food cart just eating all the leftovers, salmonella, whatever it was.
Salmonella, just a plate of salmonella.
Yeah, food poisoning, that's all good.
How come there's always the food left over for the Asian guy, but not... Shut up, Peter.
Fucking Peter, man. Yeah, he would get Mitzi's ear when people were showcasing, and it was annoying. Like, Freddie Soto used to try to block him, and they used to fight all the time. Like, Mitzi would offer Freddie, you want some popcorn? And Peter would come out of nowhere. I just a pop on my tea, and Freddie would be like, "Get the fuck out of here!" Like, oh, it was awful. Freddie and I hate it.
The last time I ever saw him was when he ate those weed brownies that Wheels made, and Wheels brought him up, and he's like, "Yeah, this pop brownies up front if everyone wants them." And so some of us ate them. We're all fucking stoners, so we just feel good.
Yeah.
Peter walks up. Oh, they're fucking brownies. Yeah, man. And then no one said anything to him, and he just starts eating them. And then about 20, 30 minutes later, he's like, oh, I'm fucked up. I don't know what happened. I don't know. I cannot drive. Well, just get in your car because
please.
We don't want to fucking listen to you. I think somebody tried to give me date rape. No one tried to
give me date rape.
You didn't get roofied, idiot.
So I think I showed kid for 9 weeks straight.
Oh, shit. And this was Scott Day. They made you come back every week?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Scott in 98, right? Corey didn't take over.
No.
Okay.
Bald guy, right?
No, Scott wasn't bald. He had light hair.
Bald guy was Dean,
brown.
Probably.
No, not 98.
That's true.
Yeah.
There was a guy named Duncan working here.
Duncan Trussell.
Yeah.
But not our Duncan. That was the one.
Not our Duncan Trussell, another Duncan.
Yeah, Brandon Duncan.
Brandon Duncan, yeah.
Yeah, he was the manager.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. I was like, wait, Duncan, man. Brandon Duncan was our manager.
I auditioned the same night that some guy got passed to the main room immediately.
Oh.
Black comedian.
His first spot was in the main room, you mean? Yes. Shit.
I was a junior in high school. So
immediate.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, what?
Everybody was like, oh, shit. Because he put him in the main room.
I know.
So
I was
fast.
Like, what? And then I thought, because I remember I was working a door and I didn't know anybody. I was wearing the white Comedy Store t-shirt.
Yeah.
Nice.
I wasn't even good enough for the black t-shirt.
Yeah,
they gave me a white one.
Yeah.
And I remember I stopped him and I said, excuse me, where are you going? I got to spy in the main room, man. I said, all right, man, going in. So I guess if you yelled at me, you were regular.
That was it. You're good enough. You seem like you have a bad attitude. You must be from here.
You're probably a comic here. Yeah, yeah.
See, I got a main room spot 2 weeks after I got passed.
Yeah, this was, I remember it was same night or something weird like that. Like it was so immediate, and I can't think of who it was. It wasn't AJ Jamal.
Not AJ Jamal.
It's sticking in my head because
he used to host the Laugh Factory on Sundays too.
Yeah, and he was so good in the main room. He was my favorite act to watch when I first started here in the main room. But he was already passed early on.
That comedian had a bit with music. I remember.
Of course.
It was summer loving happened so fast, and he's doing the grease thing with the music, and he just pantomiming. I don't think he does that bit anymore. But
I hope not. He might.
I hope it was Sergio Love. I know he's got a great Dido bit, but
me lucky charms. me lucky charms.
What's the other one that Sergio does that sticks in my fucking head all the time? I hate it. It's a rap one.
In my convertible. West Side Calcutta, motherfucker.
Motherfucker, come from Calcutta.
Oh, I like that one, that's though. Motherfucker. That was a good one, though.
And he would do the DJ. Yeah. No, maybe it could have been Sergio.
Jerry Carter would look at him and go,
Yeah, so interesting. Interesting.
How's he
How could I make that Latino?
Yeah, because he wasn't getting white work. They weren't letting the ginger in. They were like, no, he's weird. The Mexicans were like, come over here, school. Fucker.
That's old school. Like, treat him like an Irishman. He can hang out with minorities.
He was very shy, that guy, Darren Carter, off stage.
Yeah, yeah.
We're at a bar. We're doing a show with Rudy Moreno and we're sitting at the bar. I don't drink. And I'm trying to pick up on his girl. And we're talking, and I'm in, man. But then I go to the center, and I come back, and that girl's crying, sitting next to Darren Carter.
Oh, no. The party starter made a girl cry?
Yes. What happened, man? Oh, man. We started talking about parents, and she told me she don't have a dad. I told her I never met my dad, and we just got into it. Fuck. Jesus. Dog. Yeah.
Hey, talk about cock blocking.
Cock blocking.
That's you the brought worst. Up a father?
You brought, yeah, a you don't dead a father.
You don't have a father? I don't have a father.
Right? Yeah, that's the easiest ones well, to get laid by.
As long as no one's sucking Felipe's dick tonight, I think we'll both off. Get through the night. You motherfucker.
I have a father. He's a mental patient, but he's fun.
We did a one-nighter in Arizona. It was like 100 degrees.
Oh, geez.
It was outside.
Outside?
A big rap show. I'm doing 15 minutes. Amazing. Darren Carter doing 15, and it was like we were sweating. And the promoter's friend goes, "You guys want to go hang out? I know a cool spot." I don't know if him, Darren Carter, and him spoke privately, and they said, "You want to go, Felipe?" And I said, "All right." You know, I don't smoke weed back then. I didn't do nothing, so I'll go. Keep in mind that Darren Carter went to go get changed, and he put on these red Richard Simmons shorts. You know, the kind with the liner
like
inside?
Yeah. Yeah,
the kind with the little underwear inside.
Sure, some like running shorts.
Yeah, the pockets on the side. The
Bruce
red.
Jenner,
he has
school.
Little track shoes. Sure. Where are we going? We're going to work out or what? The guy takes us to a swingers bar. It costs $35 to get in. It's called Encounters in Arizona. There's like three swingers bars in Phoenix, Arizona. He took us to that one. $35 to get in. Three dudes coming in, paying $35 to get in.
And White Legs is out?
Yes.
He's got the white
we
legs
get
out.
There, and there's this ugly-ass lady who looks like Honey Boo Boo's mom.
A real beauty.
But short, right? Short.
A midget version of Honey Boo Boo's mom.
She's wearing just a nightgown. Ugh. She's in charge of the little buffet they have there. Because they have like nachos.
For $35, you might as well get some snacks, too.
They have nachos, cheese nips, chicken nuggets, you know, and what are baked beans. And she's hooking it up. And she's the only woman here? Then I look to the side. There are like three truck drivers having sex with a 42-year-old woman or a 45-year-old woman.
Well, that hurts
and
me.
And she's blowing all of them in the jacuzzi.
I feel like that's my future.
And me and Darren Carter just watching it.
Eating
right
snacks.
In front of them, eating snacks, eating cheese nips.
I don't know what it is about Phoenix, because when
I can see the cheese nips and his legs like crossed, his white
he's
legs.
He's getting goosebumps now.
Pails can be. Yeah,
we're eating cheese nips, watching an orgy right here going on in front of us.
Dude, Phoenix is weird because I was there with Paulie and Ari Shaffir.
Naturally,
and. We were hanging out. It was when the improv in Tempe, that guy Dan was in charge of.
Oh,
it.
Yeah, wow. He's sure. A beast.
Yeah. So we're hanging out with him a couple nights in a row. And he's just being creepy as fuck. He's all coked up and weird. And so we meet these girls. And it's like, I think one of them invited us to a party. And we went to the party. And it was like, what's the college there? Arizona State. It's an Arizona State. Party.
It's
so it's a bunch of college kids. And I'm like 24, so I'm kind of close in age to these people. Ari's like 30 something. And the cops show up like 10 minutes after we get to the party. And everyone's freaking out. And Ari's like, well, maybe I'll just go talk to the cops. It was like, yeah, man, you're 30. Go talk to them. So Ari goes and talks to the cops, and the cops just leave. And then it's just like us and like probably five chicks and like two or three other dudes that are staying there, I guess, or whatever. And so we hung out. We played beer pong. It was the first time I ever played beer pong. And then we left because we had to take the Pauly Shore's dead wagon back to the hotel.
Okay, naturally.
So then the next night, one of the girls called Ari and said, hey, you know, we're going to meet at this club or whatever. We're like, all right. So we go to that club. That Dan guy takes us. And they're like, hey, we're getting on this this bus, a party bus. And we're like, okay, that's cool. And they're like, only thing is, you can't bring the creepy old dude, talking about Dan.
Oh. I thought you meant Ari. I was like, damn, that's fucked up.
So Ari's like, oh. But
Dan, you're out.
You're going to have to tell him. I'm like, why do I have to tell you? You're the old guy. You got to go tell him. All right, I'll talk to him. So Ari just goes over and he's just like, look, you can't come with us. The guy's like, what? Why, man? I brought you here, blah, blah, blah. And so somehow he convinces him he just can't come. And so I remember getting on this party bus, and me and Ari and these girls, and we look out the window, and Dan's just standing there staring at the bus like, these motherfuckers. And so we start driving around. We're driving for like 30 minutes. You know, there are drinks on the bus or whatever. And then they just pull up to some house in the like Scottsdale Hills. And then they're like, yeah, it's kind of like a swinger thing. And I just remember being like, what? And we walk in this house and we're like looking around. There's just people hooking up.
Oh,
fucking
fuck. Everywhere? Like
just groups of them.
Was there a buffet?
There's no buffet.
And Felipe sitting there eating their nacho watches and shit.
There was a creepy, hilarious, like John Waters looking dude, like thin mustache.
Oh, that's scary.
Just super skinny at the bar. He's like, can I get you guys drinks? And I just remember being like, fuck that. I'm not drinking anything this guy's making. The next thing you know, I'll be getting fucked by the pool.
So easily.
Like, no, I'm good. Walk out back. There's like flames shooting out of fucking like gas fucking tanks next to the pool and shit. We hung out for like 20 minutes. I'm like, I think we got to get the fuck out of here, man.
I wish I was free enough to drink what the bartender was making and just have sex by the pool. I would get too nervous. Like, who's watching? I'm doing this wrong. I'm sure I'm not doing this right. I got to call my mother.
I have so little game. I just knew for sure the only way I was getting laid was if that John Waters guy was fucking me while I was passed out. None of the chicks there were fucking even
like,
looking
nice
at
mustache.
Me. God damn it. Oh,
again.
Oh, look who's awake. Well, God damn it, I just got Bill Cosby'd. Fuck.
You ever seen that movie Crybaby?
Yes.
You remind me of Pecker. God damn it.
You guys ever go party at that house that everybody used to go in Burbank?
No, but I feel like I heard about that from a different comic.
There used to be a guy.
It was a swingers thing?
Yeah, but it wasn't a swinger when I was there.
Then I'm thinking of something different.
Just partying. There used to be a guy that I guess he used to walk around. He used to look like Sam Kinison.
Around here?
No, Bobcat Goldthwait, actually. He was skinny, short, bald guy.
Mm-hmm. And he used to come to the comedy store?
I don't think he was a comedian.
He was just like a hanger-outer.
He had
he had some.
Not Johnny Hollywood. He was bald. He looked like Sam. He
Johnny
like,
Zapp?
Johnny
not Johnny Zapp.
Zapp. That's the one.
With the odd jobs? Nah.
You know, I was a stage manager for every famous band and or comic that ever lived for 40 years, each person. How old are you? Richard Pryor told me I was his favorite white person.
No, he did not.
He didn't tell you that.
He always had like something weird, like, I'm the one that told him to do that.
Yep. Every comic. He wrote for Carlos. I'm like, you shouldn't say that because Carlos is stealing material and you're not paying attention.
Yeah, I was here one night. Me and Freddie Lockhart were hanging out and Johnny Zapp started telling us about, we were making fun of him. Like, hey, Johnny, remember when you did this? Remember when you did that? And it'd just be like the most ridiculous thing ever. Like, remember when you told the Beatles they should fire Peter Best and hire Ringo Starr? And so then Freddie goes, he's like, Johnny, you remember when you told Jimi Hendrix to play the Star Spangled Banner? He's like, I get it. You guys are making fun of me. But the truth is, I was the guy who told him to light his guitar on fire. And we're like, is that the truth, Johnny? Is that really the truth?
With him.
I fucked Janis Joplin at a Three Dog Night concert.
Oh, like, boy.
Doesn't get cooler than you, Johnny Zapp.
So he wasn't the one that would take you to this party in
There was a guy here, I remember, because I was like, when I was performing but not coming here a lot, I would only come here to party when I with the people.
Okay.
Like I get it. Yorcy and what's the guy named Peanut? I don't know
Peanut,
his name.
Sure, Peanut,
hell yeah. And
always
the guy who passed away in Vegas.
KD.
Yeah, KD Brown.
And another, there was another guy who he just moved back to Jersey.
PJ.
PJ. Yeah.
Well, PJ.
I kidnapped that guy for two nights.
How could you kidnap PJ? He does the kidnapping.
I'll do it. Whatever.
That was at his house.
No, was, he's and fun. And
the crooked little guy. What's his name?
Davey Wester.
Davey.
Yep.
That was it.
Dude, he knows all the people get me
excited. Yorsey, Thomas.
Yeah.
Yorsey was my favorite. Yorsey used to get, when I first started here, he would get banned for stupid shit, whatever.
Either hey, Popeye.
Something he did on stage or something stupid the that Mitzi saw. So he was banned, so he would change his name. So I met him as Yorsey, then he was Yo Mama.
Yo Mama. That's what I called him when I had him on a podcast. Else. Bro, when I first met you, just call Yo Mama. Then you're Yorsey. Who the fuck is Yorsey?
Yeah, he just kept changing his name because he didn't want Mitzi
to know.
You know,
who
yeah,
was.
Like if she saw it on the lineup, she wouldn't bother. The managers, we loved him. We never bothered him. You know, we were like, oh, it's fucking Yorsey.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Yo Mama, he had a couple different names, and then I would break his balls. I'm like, who are you this week when we put the lineups up? You know, fucking Yorsey. So you would party with Davey Wester, which is always
hey,
fun
motherfucker.
To party with. Hey.
I was partying with, I don't know how I ended up at their house.
That's
right there by the...
Yes.
By Fairfax?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Santa Monica?
Yeah, I've been to that party
I don't
there
know
before.
How I ended up there.
It was truly amazing.
I don't know
amazing.
Who gave Davey the peanut butter, but it's all over the fucking
it's
house.
All over the
PJ
fucking
used
house.
To freak out.
And I think I was up for like 3 nights straight.
Okay.
And Peter said, Felipe, I got to go to work. I said, where do you work? He goes, the comedy store. Okay, I'll go with you then. So I waited for him right there at that little bar outside till he got off work.
Jesus.
And I was just going in and out, doing blow in the back, coming back.
Yeah.
Looking like Joe Diaz, cocksucker.
Yeah, yeah, cocksuckers.
My mouth was running. I looked like
the
Jeff.
Real shit.
I looked like Jeff Dunham with no puppets.
Yeah, that
good
house.
Good Joe Diaz.
That house is bad.
He's in the hot house.
Fuck, man. I didn't know that you're hanging out with them. Like
that was
that.
Yeah. That house is bad news. Seriously.
I mean,
yeah.
I knew a lot of people
good
would go
news,
there.
Good news, but fun yeah. news, but it was definitely bad.
Ooh,
news.
We were like, they were like, I remember like, I went on a coke and goes, you know somebody? Yeah, I know somebody. Then this guy who looks like that actor, Peter Green. I don't know if you know that actor.
Mm-mm.
Huh. Peter Green, he was in... whatever he was then. He looked
no,
like some actor.
You. Okay.
Just, I thought it was the actor when he showed up. Bro, are you the actor?
Yeah.
And I was the only one who knew who Peter Green was. Nah, yeah, right? Man. Thanks, though.
He's complimented.
They're like, how high is this guy? He thinks I'm Peter Green. I don't even know who the fuck that is.
Yorsey tells me at Wild Coyotes, he goes, Felipe, I know the gig at 2 in the morning that pays $60 in the Valley.
Wow.
And he goes, fuck it, I ain't doing nothing from 2 in the morning to a morning.
Of course.
So we go to this place in Burbank, that's the house, and they have like an LAPD outside, undercover. He was like the security guard. Mm-hmm. He never went inside the house. He just stood outside the house, making sure you were invited.
Right, right.
We get there. There's like pinball machines there, arcade. You know, some house parties, you know, the crazy ones where everybody just starts peeing in your yard.
Jesus, yeah.
This guy had bathroom stalls outside his yard. Like, the walls had, like, a urinal thing.
That's hilarious.
He was tired
yeah.
of people peeing on the
yes.
lawn. So.
He was
so
he had tired like, of smelling it.
Yes, he had three of them. They were all connected to the wall of his house. You could just pee there.
It's hilarious.
And he had, like, another little house, private little house.
It wasn't
house.
A glory hole. It was a...
No,
I don't know what kind of party
nobody
does.
He would have opened with that if there was a glory hole at the house.
And I tell Yorsey, all right, man, where's all the party favors
yeah.
you promised me?
Yeah.
You know? And he goes, well, and then Yorsey reached over and he got this little nasal spray. And the nasal spray was full of cocaine and water.
Oh, jeez.
You know something when you do coke, it gets stuck right here on your nose?
No, I never
so
did.
So you gotta
it.
Snort water to help it run down.
Yeah.
So this thing had like half coke and a little bit of water. So it was like.
So it just came ready to go.
Yeah, you just
straight drain.
So you just, it was just pure water and cocaine coming down your throat perfectly. It was like smooth.
Yeah.
The guy, I ended up being the owner.
Because Afrin, people used to get addicted to that shit too. My ex used to do coke and he used to put the Afrin and I thought he had sinus problems. So that's probably what the fuck he was doing.
Yes.
Mixing it, this bitch.
Yeah.
So damn, I'm glad I got that baby.
I think I'm hooked on the Afrin even without doing cocaine for...
Yeah, they say it is addictive. Yeah, be careful.
The guy's name at the house was Doug and I was like, I stood there till like the part. I was the last guy to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was walking... tons of people were coming in and out of that house all fucking night.
Yeah.
Women, guys, people were just getting fucked up. And we still do it. We did comedy there. I remember my joke.
Amazing.
I killed with one joke. Wow, this place reminded me of like Pinocchio. We're all going to wake up looking like donkeys in the morning. From this like, nasal spray shit. And he had his house all locked up. Like, there's no sunlight could come in. So it was the ultimate party.
Locked out, yeah.
He had a ledger of everybody who's been there because everybody signs
in. So everybody
it.
Had to sign in
had
and
to
out.
Sign in and
damn.
Out. And the way you get invited, he give you points, like fake points, I guess, if you're too fucked up. He'll call them Dougie points. His name is Doug, so he called him Dougie Point. Like, okay. if you are on the way out, you pick up like a couple of trash, like a couple of beer bottles, put them in a bag. Not keep them like Peter Chan, but.
You
take the trash out for him during the party. He'll look at you. You're a nice guy.
Yeah.
Bro, I'm going to give you some Dougie points. So I guess that if you get enough Dougie points, he calls you and invites you to the party
himself.
Personally. You get the text, party at midnight, show up. Instead of having yours, he bring you. So, I decided I'm not gonna ever go back to my house. So I have to transfer my Dougie point to somebody else.
That's right.
Can I get Felipe's Dougie points?
Still
is that possible?
Points out there, if there's still
this
a Dougie.
Fool shows up to my show at the Ice House last year with a photo that he took of me getting Dougie points,
God.
And my face all like, my hair's all fucked up. And I didn't even ask, you know, like, how did you take this photo? Because I never saw it. So he must have had cameras everywhere.
Everywhere.
And I'm glad I'm not a thief, because I would have got caught that night.
Yeah.
I'm not a kleptomaniac, you know, picking up shit.
I can kind of be a thief.
That's why PJ wasn't invited over there a lot, probably.
But that's what I was saying, like, those houses I heard of, but they were mostly, like, swing houses. I never heard of somebody doing comedy in one. I would have loved to have known Dougie.
Party house.
Just because, you know, I like guys.
I thought it was a thing. I thought everybody was going there. I thought all the comics were going there.
Well, you know, yeah, we weren't invited. I didn't start doing comedy until after Freddie Pat, like 2008. So
yeah.
I'm a late bloomer. I was just waiting tables here for 12 years. So our parties would be at Crest Hill. Freddie used to live in Mitzi's house that was behind here in Crest Hill. We had a few parties there that were pretty interesting.
When I was talking to Paul.
No Mitzi points.
When I was talking to Paul Rodriguez, he should do this.
Oh my God, I would kill to have Paul on.
He'll love
to. He's my fellow Rams fan.
I was explaining to him, we were working together last week. We did this show outside in Tucson. It was like 109.
Last week?
Yeah. And it was outside.
Why are you doing shows outside last week?
Why are they doing shows outside in Arizona ever?
Because they have two comedians go up and then they have bands right after us.
Okay.
Okay.
And we were like fighting the heat. And I was telling him that, you know, I did this funny meme about you. He's like, "Órale, what's a meme?"
I'm obsessed with him.
No, man, and you got to get on these podcasts, you know. That's the thing, you know. People love hearing, especially all the stories you have.
And he was a Comedy Store guy for a long time.
He told me he used to babysit Pauly Shore.
Yeah, sure.
And he said he came in after the strike.
Yes.
I don't know. I thought he was part of it, but he wasn't.
No.
I read the book, by the way.
Oh,
I'm
did
dying
you like
up
it?
Here. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Rick's in the TV show.
Oh, congratulations, bro.
When does your scene come up?
Who do you play?
I just play a random comic.
Congratulations.
Thanks,
man. Hell yeah.
My part's very tiny. I'm just the guy on stage in the background while the main characters are bitching probably about how I'm on stage when they're not. But
yeah, it's good. Have you watched the show? Or
yeah. Well, yeah. No, I saw the preview when I saw we had Eric Griffin on the podcast. When I saw him with a white hat and the white clothes, I said, man, are you supposed to be David Tyree, bro?
That's what I thought. I'm trying to get Dave Tyree to come in too and do the podcast.
The sly motherfucker.
I love Dave Tyree. Oh my God. My mom would complain, these comics are filthy. These comics are filthy. The few times she came out here, you know. And I have six brothers and three sisters, so she's heard filth, you know. Like, she's heard some shit talk. But she was like, they're all filthy. And she was like, Brian Holtzman was on just screaming. And she was like, this is awful. Then I take her in the original room and Dave Tyree's on. And he opens with, I'm sorry I'm late. We were all sitting around licking my neighbor's fingers. He's Janet Jackson's gynecologist. And she's, ha, 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 ha. I'm like, fuck you, bitch.
Smooth motherfucker.
That's she goes, oh, he's funny. He had a description of pussy, how like when you're in your 20s, it tastes like peach cobbler, you know, peach cobbler pie. And then in your 30s, it starts to get a little tangy. And I forget the description he would make, but he goes, in 40s, it tastes like coffee and cigarettes. And my mother, ah! I'm like, oh, all of a sudden, this bitch is screaming over. She loved Dave Tyree. That was her favorite comic. Dave, I don't know Tyree. Why. He's a pimp, man. He's slick. He can get in slick. There. But yeah, I was thrilled that Eric Griffin and Andrew, they're all like store guys. Andrew Santino.
Yeah.
Al Madrigal. Yeah. Al Madrigal, Willie Barcena, and Freddie Soto. Right before Freddie passed, they had like a thing they were writing together. They were real close to selling it. That would have been a killer project. I love Willie Barcena. I haven't seen him in years.
Come on, bro. Everybody steals from me, bro.
Everybody's stealing from
me,
Willie,
bro.
If he was doing, he was either doing like a Faberman. Show or fighting somebody. Yeah, he was always in a fight or doing a show. I loved watching him.
I don't know who that is.
He wasn't a store
Come on,
guy.
Bro. They're 12 tonight shows, bro. He'll tell you, bro. He's one guy that'll get pissed off if
so
like,
angry.
Like I walk him. Into clubs when I'm like. When I'm not headlining, when I'm part of a big show, like last Thursday, and I came in with like three people, and the girl at the cashier, she tried to charge me to get in.
What?
Right?
Was that from the All Things Comedy show?
No, it was the Skylar Stone show.
Oh, okay. So and, that's a good one to be on.
I told her, no, I'm in the show. She goes, oh, I'm sorry. No, it's cool. I don't know me either. So she let us in. But I know a comedian that will freak out at something like that.
Yeah.
Like Willie would have freaked out. Come on, man. You 12 to night shows, bitch. And then
Johnny Sanchez would be at the top of that list too. Right?
Yeah, because that. But I know by watching him do that, he broke. He closed that door for himself.
Yeah. I mean, he's a funny guy. He's a funny motherfucker. But it was, yeah, he would fight with people a lot. It was constantly like, so-and-so's taking my shit. This one's taking my shit.
I think when I first met him, he was going to court because somebody, I guess, he didn't like the way he was introduced at the improv.
Okay. Well, that's
and
fair.
And on the way off.
How does this get to the court, though? That's what I want to know.
He got the microphone from him. When he was getting the microphone from him, Willie headbutts him and knocks him out.
He's crazy.
Damn.
Yeah, it was that guy is from New York Comic. He lives in Boca Raton now.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and when I told the story to another person, that comedian was the comedian that he's Jewish. And on this book called Comedy Road Stories.
Oh, okay.
That Rick something wrote. Rich.
Oh.
Rich. It's probably Rich Schneider?
Rich Schneider,
Shiner.
Yes.
Shiner.
He wrote it. He's the guy that... did a like a bad anti-Semitic joke, even though he's Jewish, on a cruise ship.
Oh, and
they sent
trouble?
A helicopter bring his ass, and they took
that.
Him off.
Yeah,
hilarious.
I've seen that. I've seen like, or they'll send up a boat.
Fogelman,
tugboat.
Peter Fogelman.
Yeah, Peter Fogelman. Yeah, I remember.
So when I told oh, God. When I was working with Greg Giraldo, I'm not name dropping, but he's
That's
the one
a
that
big
told
name
me.
Drop. I'm just kidding.
I was opening for him, and Jim Pompa. I was the opener. And he told me, "Nah, I know the guy." He goes, "He was like the name you use when something went bad to your gig, like you know, like in Kingpin, I'm Gunn Munson.
Gunn Munson in the middle of nowhere. Yeah.
What happened, bro? They Peter Fogel me, bro.
Oh my God!
What happened? I got Peter Fogel at that gig, bro.
Shut me down."
You know, I didn't know that, but I do remember the incident and that he had to go to court.
Yeah.
I forgot it was Peter. I blocked him out.
He was on the floor.
He was a regular here, too.
He was on the floor laying down, and Willie kept performing.
Oh.
Knocked him out, then performed?
Knocked him out.
Fuck.
And of course, Willie just stepped over him and just did his jokes like nothing happened. That's amazing.
At least when the guy knocked out Peanut in the back, he just left. You know?
Oh, yeah. Peanut got knocked out here by some... It was a rando, right?
There was some dude that Peanut owed money to or something. I just remember... I had been yelling at Peanut as Darnell Valentine, my alter ego. And then next thing you know, Peanut gets knocked out. And people are like, hey, Darnell, man, what happened with Peanut? I'm like, what? I walk out back, and they're like helping Peanut up. And then somehow someone, I think Don Barris or someone was like, well, you know, Rick Ingram, he was there the whole time. So then Peanut kept calling me and be like, hey, man, I need you to come to court and testify. You saw this guy do it. I'm like, I wasn't there. Could you come testify anyway? I'm like, I'm not testifying in court.
Could you come testify?
What are you talking
Poor
about?
Peanut, the sweetest.
Just do a quick set for me.
Come He's an Uber driver. Want to see the peanut dance? No, I need to get to my destination. He's doing the peanut dance. Motherfucker's got his bees on.
Peanut.
I love Peanut. He's so stupid.
I love when David Tell referenced him. He's like, you know, lots of people have comedy fathers. You know, they say George Carlin inspired them. For me, it's always been Peanut. I was like, that's so great that Dave Attell knows who Peanut
He's
is.
He's in on it. He's in on the joke. Wait, so you had a showcase 6 times, 6 weeks in a row?
Like
I don't know why I'm bringing back, but that's a weird thing.
Were
the times more? Was
Mitzi,
it 3 minutes,
Was Mitzi
6 minutes?
There or she just
She was there.
Yeah, she would come in. She if gave it was 98, she was driving
She
in.
Gave me 3, 3, 3, and then 10, and then 3 again.
Okay, because she used to up 3, 3, 3,
3, 3, 4, 5, 10. And then she said, call in for spots.
I love it.
That was good because I was like, oh, wow, I'm about to come back again. But then she like, call in.
Call in. You're great.
I called in a couple of times. But it was one of those times where there was like too many big shots.
Of course.
Because I remember like getting bumped. Like Dice, bump.
Griffin.
Oh, yeah. Eddie Griffin went up and did 4 hours before me.
Yep. Oh, yeah. That's what he was doing when I first showed
then
up.
Then Freeze Love, one time he showed up.
My favorite.
And then he said, who's next? And it goes, me on Felipe. Sorry. And then he did another 2 hours.
But Freeze Love?
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't have that privilege. That's amazing that he took it.
Yeah, he did. He went really long. So I got to watch his whole act. It was funny.
Oh, he's amazing. He was hilarious.
He got me
funny.
In here.
He got Rick in here.
I'm only here because
he had a lot of people in here.
I stood when I got bumped by Dice, or we all got bumped. I just stood and watched the whole show. It was like a free show for me.
Yeah.
Because you don't know like if Eddie Griffin was going to fall off the desk.
Yeah. he just kept getting drunker and drunker and...
We were driving that dented up NSX.
Yes. Oh my God, I forgot about that. He would come in with a whole clan of people, a whole tribe of people. I probably shouldn't say clan, but you know what I mean.
And then he's up there like, I remember he was up there like, I don't want to say complaining, but you're already famous. He goes, nobody's to fuck with this little man. Nobody's to fuck with me. The Wayne didn't fuck with me. My Lawrence didn't fuck with me. The only guy who fucked with me was a Dice man. Took me. To do the Madison Square Garden show.
He took him to Philadelphia. And I remember the story. I'm trying to get Eddie on, but he's in Vegas too all the time. But Dice.
I won't make it in for that episode.
Yes, you will. Dice. Because these guys had to deal with him on a different level. He didn't break my balls as much, but he kind of respected me because I was Mitzi's assistant. So I had a little bit of a...
Yeah, I can't deal with someone who is a compulsive liar.
Oh, he's
completely
a total
full
compulsive
of shit.
And I'd be like, he'd lie to my face. I'm like, dude, I was there. That didn't happen. Like, but I just let it go because it was Eddie. He would just talk shit. But Dice took him to Philadelphia and he was like, pack, we're going tomorrow, whatever. So Eddie was like, okay. And he's like, young. Yeah, he came. Andrew said he had like maybe a brown paper bag. And he was like, where's your luggage? And he's like, this is it.
Smooth.
Like had a toothbrush, deodorant. And so
was that
he
one,
had no clothes.
Was that when he was living in his car?
I think so, because they were going to Philadelphia and it was fucking freezing. Andrew had to take him to get clothes. Like, so they went shopping the first day in Philadelphia on South Street.
Yeah.
That's how he had to open. He had no clothes for it. Like, he was just going to wear his shorts and his t-shirt. He didn't have a jacket. He didn't have shit.
I saw some interview someone posted online maybe like 5 or 6 months ago of Eddie talking about opening for Dice and how he crushed so hard that Dice had a hard time following him. And then he's going
on. He did do well, though. And
he's like,
said.
Yeah, I'm his oldest son's godfather. A lot of people don't know that.
That's,
I'm like,
that's a
godfather? I didn't know Jewish people had godfathers.
Don't
I saw Max. I'm like, Max, you have a godfather? He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, no, I just wanted
What's
to
a
know.
Godfather? Right. I saw that movie. No.
Not that
not
one.
What it is.
Out of his fucking mind.
What? So when you got past, did you get spots all the time? How long did you work here?
I worked for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I couldn't deal with that ladder.
Oh,
I thought it was too fat.
Yeah.
And it was wobbly.
You're not too fat. You're just human.
Yeah. And then like Chewy, right? The big Mexican dude with the fucking coveralls.
Hey, Chewy. What's going on? Chewy Castro.
Hey, Hey, bro. I'll hold the ladder for you, eh? So he's holding the ladder for me, still shaking. I said, listen, man, I don't think I'm going to come back tomorrow.
Chewy's all coked up.
Yeah, I don't think I'm
going to
come back tomorrow, man.
Yeah, and that the weight thing has always persisted because I was so skinny that no matter what, where I was working, it always came, you're going to have to change the sign tonight. Why? I'm too fat.
I started hating comedians with long names doing that.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Like, I will do the names with these motherfuckers.
I can't fit that on there.
Get a fucking nickname, man.
Yeah. That's what Mitzi would give people, nicknames, if the names were too long. Campy.
This John Campy now.
Yeah, John Caparillo. She used to call him Campy. Just put Campy, and he'd be like, who the fuck is Campy?
Fat baby.
Night of a thousand Guidos.
Fat baby was Joe Diaz. She called him Fat Baby. Yeah. Night of a Thousand Guidos was an awful show that we used to have. She used to make me put the fucking Italian, you know, like picnic
the
paper.
Checkered.
Yeah. Like, she used to make me put it on every table in the main room. Do you understand what that is? Me, I'd have Freddie Soto. Corey would help because Corey was the talent, his wife was the talent coordinator at the time. So we would put all those on every day, every time we had the stupid Night of a Thousand Guidos.
I remember, She was trying to do a Latino night at the one in Ojai?
La Jolla.
And then Marilyn did it. Me and Marilyn drove, and Gabriel Iglesias drove together. We get there. The sign said, Taco Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
only three Mexicans performing.
Yes.
It was us and Frank Manzano from San Diego.
Oh, yeah, I remember that guy.
Just the other day.
She was.
Got him down.
Remember that guy?
Wow. Yeah, I forgot he existed.
Today, I took over the Alamo. That gift shop will never be the same.
Motherfucker.
Dude, we had some weird characters down
Gabriel
there.
And I thought that we were going to kill this guy, like with comedy. Like, I thought, you know, we're going to just blow him off the water.
Yeah.
Good.
We thought, you know, we were young, you know, cocky. We could just blow the motherfucker away.
We're gonna
right?
kill this guy.
We didn't.
He knew what he was doing.
He had a long set. You know, we had 10 minutes to do it. This guy just stood up there for 45 minutes, just doing one liner after one liner.
Quick like that.
At first, they were scared of him. Who the fuck is this guy? Then by 15 minutes in, they were loving him.
Love it. I remember that guy.
He taught us how to tip.
Taco Tuesday.
He taught us how to tip. Before, I never tipped anywhere. I mean, nowhere.
Really?
I mean, when I was doing open mic at the Natural Fudge.
That just angered me, but yes.
The waitress came up to my table and goes, you know you guys got a tip, right? We're bringing you guys nachos, food. You guys giving me a dime. And I was like, you want a dime? I don't know. You know, I've never eaten at a restaurant.
Worked, but you never worked in the food industry
never
either.
Worked
yeah,
at a never been to a restaurant. All my food been fast food.
Sure.
My food has never been brought to me in my life up until then.
Wow. Damn.
So we're eating. They brought us Chinese food in La Jolla, and then I got up to leave. He goes, hey, what are you guys doing? We're done eating, bro. What the fuck? What else is there to do? You got to leave a tip? Come on. And he goes, no, man, you got to start breaking. You guys got to break the stereotype, man. They say Mexicans don't tip. You guys got to start tipping. So ever since then, we've been tipping.
I wouldn't say Mexicans don't tip. I would say foreigners didn't tip.
Like, Japanese don't tip.
Yeah, it didn't in their country.
Very specific. I like that.
It wasn't on there.
Yeah, it's not normal in Europe either.
In Europe, it's included.
It's included, right?
Yeah. So a lot
you just
of
pay their people more. So
a lot
the price
of people
on the
didn't
menu
know.
Is larger.
Yeah. So that like that, I always give people the benefit of the doubt. But waiting tables so long, when I go to a restaurant, I mean, I tip like crazy.
Me too.
I'm terrible. I tip like I'm going to have to go back to waiting tables tomorrow.
I worked at Chili's down in Torrance, and our clientele was mostly black people. And I always tell people.
That's a stereotype that exists.
Yeah. I feel like they got the reformations just from not tipping me ever. I mean, I had like a party of like 12 and they would leave me like whatever the change was left over from the, be like $185.60 and I'd get back and there would just be 40
And you
cents.
Work harder with that table
Fuck
than
yeah.
any other table.
Any
Fuck
other
yeah.
Come on, man, with my water.
Yeah.
It was always
White Boy. That was always my
my
name. White Boy gets more strawberry lemonades. I'd be like, God damn it. I'm not getting
tipped.
The
main room we had Fat Tuesday, they used to call me Susie Chapstick. I'm like, that's going to stop right now, bitch.
Susie
I'm from South
Chapstick.
Philly. I'll fight this whole fucking room. Don't get me crazy. And then I would like, you know, one up them and then they would chill. And then I became their favorite. And one of my regulars was Warren G. That was my boyfriend.
Yeah.
And he would over tip, right?
He was a regulator, so he handled it.
Yeah, that was my boy. So he would over tip me, right? And one time he had this like entourage of girls with him. And this was when Fat Tuesday was in the belly room, right? So I would take care of him, make sure he had a seat because you could barely get in there. That we had to move it to the main room because it was jam-packed. So I'd get him a seat, make sure he was taken care of, you know, get him his drinks. And he gave me like a $50 tip. And as I was walking away, I was like, damn. Warren G took care of me, but he bought all these drinks, right? So I was about to walk down the back steps, and the girl was like, excuse me, come here for a second. I was like, yeah. She's like, yeah, he said he wanted his change back. I'm like, who? She's like, Warren. Where went Warren? And they all looked at me, and they were like, yeah, where went Warren? So I was like, okay. So I gave her the $50 back, and then I pulled him aside. I go, hey, did you want me to give those girls $50? He goes, what girls? And I go, those guys, he went over and he fucking regulated.
Damn. Bitches. Yeah, handle your women.
Gave me 100.
Yeah.
That was my boy. I was like, fuck, what?
She got $50 worth of beating that
These
night.
These hoes was trying to take money out. I was
$50?
Like, I will fight all for you. Yeah. Give a fuck.
I would have thrown gonorrhea all over him.
It was so like hot and sticky in that fucking belly room. That's why I waited for the show. And then I went back and asked him. But it was like, I wanted to get him to decide. You know what I mean? Because you disrupt the show in the belly room if you talk to anybody.
I felt like the audience that shows, the Guy Tori shows for Fat Tuesday, I felt like the audience wanted to be famous too.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Like really?
It was a big show for them.
I got to roll out. I got to do my spot.
Tear it up.
Yes, sir.
Tear it up, Ricky. We'll close it up. How long have we been on here?
I don't even know.
We're at an hour and 10 minutes.
All right. Have a good set. Me and Felipe will wrap it up. Thank you, Danny. Do you remember Danny, Felipe?
Yeah.
That's right.
No, I remember him hanging out with Freddie a lot.
Yeah. Freddie. I keep him in my pocket every night, so we perform every night together.
I actually keep him up in my sound booth.
You have him up there too? Yeah. This is getting beat up, man. I gotta get a new
one. Wow.
It's been in here forever.
I went to Overo Street for Day of the Dead.
Oh yeah, sure.
Day of the Dead.
November 1st.
Yeah, it was Day of the Dead there, and I saw Prince Corey there.
Princess Corey, yeah. Oh, yeah, that was right after, huh?
And
oh, my God, I remember that. And she bought a statue. I was furious with her. Yeah. She spent like $350. I'm like, Corey. But she was still in shock.
It was like Day of the Dead, and it was like, because I guess on the Day of the Dead, when you're like Catholic and you're Latino.
Yeah, especially Latino Catholic.
You got to put a photo of the dead person you love with the candles and his favorite food or whatever it is. And she had her own, she had made her own little I don't know what they call it when someone dies and you put candles.
Yeah. Like a, not a seance, but like a little memorial,
yeah.
Maybe?
She made a memorial for Freddie at the Overo Street.
And I hope it had
there,
turkey.
And she was there all day
with Cruz. Yeah,
with Cruz. And
Cruz will be 15 this month.
And she still has his, but at that time, she still had his phone.
Yeah, because it was, he died July 10th, and she went, I was yelling at her for going to that. She's like, oh, I'm going. I'm like, okay, fine, go, you know. But she stayed there all day.
All day.
I remember, and I didn't know about the food thing, but Freddie's favorite food was turkey. I don't know why, but he would be like, damn, I miss turkey. I'm like, I don't even know what that, you could get turkey anywhere. He goes, nah, you can only eat it on Thanksgiving. Like Thanksgiving and Christmas, that was his shit. So, but yeah, I remember she went and his family was here. His mom and dad were here and they didn't even go because they were too remorse, you know, not doing well with it. So yeah, she's fucking nutty butters. But she bought that statue for like $350. I'm like, Corey, you're fucking broke. You know, we're trying to raise money because Dice and Caparillo, and I think Rick went, and Steve Simone, Steve Renazzisi. Fuck, who else went? Ralphie May, maybe? They did a big benefit in El Paso. It was Dice's first time in El Paso. And they went, and they raised like $100,000.
Damn.
Yeah, and that was a lot. And then they put it in like funds and shit for Cruz so that like, you know, Corey's figuring it out, like so Cruz doesn't have to worry about school. But luckily they live over like Eagle Rock, so they went to some good schools. Cruz goes to some cool schools.
How old is she now?
She's going to be 15 this month.
Wow.
That's crazy, life, right? Huh? Yeah.
How old is she?
Corey? She's probably like 44.
No, how old is she doing?
Oh, how is she? I thought you said, how old is she? I was like, wait, I just said Corey's age. Yeah. She'll kill me. She'll hit me with a, she'll beat me up with a tiara. She's good. I don't talk to her as much as I used to, because as I said, I started doing comedy and I travel so much. And but I try to text with them as much as possible. But the last time I talked to her, she was good, you know. She's so involved with Cruise and she does fashion stuff, so that helps, you know. She makes good money renting out costumes and shit. Like all that shit Freddie used to break her balls for buying, yeah. She rents it out now. Cool. And she makes decent money. Not killer, but like, you know, she does okay, I think. But right now, Cruz is with his family in El Paso. Mm-hmm. So that's good because she gets to go.
His father passed away, right?
His father passed away 4 years after Freddie died on Freddie's birthday. Wow. How fucking weird is that? He got to see me do stand-up in the belly room. And at this point, he had that voice box because he had the cancer bad, you know? So he had the voice box and he was like, hey. Like, he could barely speak, and I was, like, fucking bawling, you know, because I'm like, no, Mr. Soto. Like, we were all so close, and when he would come visit, that was my favorite. Like, we would laugh for hours, man, regardless. Regardless. Johnny Sanchez was like, you're going to give yourself an aneurysm fucking performing to 8 people as your dad, getting so crazy. Because he would get so animated.
I don't remember when the day after the Freddie passed, like there were so many people at the store.
Oh, yeah.
And I passed by and I wanted to hang out too.
Mm-hmm.
But I had just fallen off the wagon. And then when I looked over, I saw Johnny Sanchez in a tank top, kind of buzz, regulating.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, this looks like trouble if I stay here. Because if Johnny starts something, I'm going to have to help him and he's going to get crazy. Yeah. So I just kept going and went home.
How long have you been sober?
I stopped drinking in 2009, drugs, all that stuff. But I still smoke weed.
Okay.
But I stopped in 2009. I stopped doing coke and
I feel like weed,
Oxycontin, all chill. That stuff.
Oh, wow. You were there.
Xanax.
Fuck. Yeah. Xanax is a big one. I took one once. My ex used to have the little football things. Is that the Xanax?
Or yeah,
that?
You cut it in pieces.
Yeah. So I took one, maybe a little piece or something, and he was like, yeah, you gotta chill out, so take this, you know, this will help. And I'm like, I don't do drugs, you know, I don't even like to swallow Advil, like I'm afraid of shit like that and it hurts my stomach. So I was like, I don't give a I was so stressed out, I was like, I'm gonna take it. I slept for 16 hours.
Wow.
I'm like the worst drug addict, but the best if you want to roofie me, because I'll be out for like a while and I don't feel shit. So have at it. I'm kidding. That came out wrong. But no, it was just like, he was like, fuck. And then I did Australia with Dice. We went for a month over there. And that's a 15-hour flight. So I was like, hey, give me one of those things. They had to wake me up when we landed. I slept the whole way. They were awesome. Like, bitch, get up. I'm like, oh, shit. I was all groggy for like 2 days. But that's the only time I ever took it, those two times. I can see how people get addicted, though.
Yeah, the only time I did Xanax was when I was doing coke. Like, I would do like 2 bumps.
Level it?
Yeah, well, I didn't know what leveling it. Some guy just gave it to me. He goes, bro, after a while, take the Xanax. Then after I realized, okay, the Xanax is keeping me alive right now then.
Ah, interesting way to look at it. But I think you're right, because, yeah, that's what...
It was like mellow.
Yeah.
But Xanax alone, but it would have killed me too. So the coke was keeping me from dying from Xanax. And the Xanax would keep me from dying from coke.
That's insane. People always
ask. Playing with the devil, cocksucker.
You can't play with the devil. You shake hands with him. You can't hang out with him that much. I can't believe Joey's sober. Like, I love that Joey's clean. Like, the years I knew Joey, he was looking for a way to get what he needed.
Yeah, man.
If you will.
Take me to Dante.
You're dropping names.
Take me to Dante. The Martell Cartel.
Oh, my God.
Take me to Compadres. I gotta talk to the mariachi.
All those motherfuckers. And Freddie would be like, let's go to El Compadre. I'm like, Freddie, I hate El Compadre.
I didn't know what was going on at El Compadre. I thought we were going there for chips. I realized I'm the only one that's eating here.
He would go, just order your Mexican grilled cheese. I'll be right back.
I'm going to the bathroom. They're going to the bathroom. They're only eating chips. And we're like, nobody eats here.
No. Me and Corey and you were the only ones eating. We're like, this isn't that great. I don't know why he likes to come here.
The food is not that good. And then Joe Diaz tell me, no, you got to talk to the guitar player.
Yes.
You give him a 20. He's playing a little song. A little bat comes out. When I was partying, Joey didn't know that I was doing like a lot of blow at the same time that he was doing blow. So I was hanging out with him one night, and I thought that we're both going to score, right? So he goes to buy his shit, and I'm thinking, I want to buy some too.
Yeah.
But I didn't speak up. I was quiet.
Oh.
So we go to a compadre. Joe Diaz takes out a bag out of nowhere. He opens it up, puts the straw inside, and does a whole fucking thing.
Jesus.
A whole 20 bag. Goes by a burrito across the street and eats it right after. I guess there was no Xanax, I guess. So.
Yeah, he used like something else. He used a burrito. That's
when I knew that the food isn't that good, because he could have ordered a burrito at Compadre.
He went across the street.
He went across the street from the truck.
Holy shit.
Like, who does blow and eats a burrito?
I have a friend, he would do blow and he'd go to sleep. I'm like, what the fuck? You're doing it wrong. Like, that's not what it's supposed to do. All my friends I hung out with always did it. I was always around it, but I never tried it. I never even smoked weed. But I think I'm like an addict. Like, I smoked a cigarette when I was 9 and it took me 21 years to quit. And then I did like iced tea. I'm addicted, totally fucking addicted. Like, if I don't have it, I will fucking kill somebody.
Unsweetened or sweetened?
Sweetened, naturally.
Lemon tea or southern tea?
Lemon.
See, I didn't know there was southern tea. So yes. I went to the South. That shit is sweet.
That's a little, I got it. I worked in Kansas City. I was working at Stanford and Sons. And,
I know, I've been there.
Oh, yeah. It's a great place. They took me to this little spot, this little barbecue spot on the Missouri side. And I was like, I'm going to get a sweet tea because I love tea so much. But that was like the whole bag of sugar in a cup,
mm-hmm.
and then some tea. And I was like, fuck. Like, and I drank it too because I don't give a shit. But I was like, oh, this is fuck. My tongue was swollen after. I was like, this is bad. And then the barbecue was okay.
So you headlining places?
Yeah, I was headlining at Stanford and Sons.
What was the name of the owner?
Craig. Fuck is his last name. He's so funny. He's got some stories, bro.
He's still married?
Have you read his book? No. He wrote a book. It was an option for a movie. Like, he's trying to sell it.
He still has those newspaper clippings of him being a vigilante.
Yes. A vigilante that was robbing drug dealers. Yeah, that's the greatest book, though.
Did he ever tell you that when he went to court, that all those, so they tried to subpoena all those comedians?
No,
he went to court. When he went to court.
Like, all the comedians that work for him?
Yeah. He went to court and he said that a lot of names started popping up, you know, like, I guess they were trying to get him. And I don't know that he was, they came up because to say that he was doing bad or to help his case, that he was a good guy.
Oh, I see what you mean. Like, I helped this comic. Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't remember. I can't think of his last name. Rick, that was Rick's home club. So he does him a lot. He does a great impression of him. And there's three brothers. One of them was killed in a car accident. About 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. So everything went to shit. They have moved the club. Now it's in the middle of this big mall. It's not like in the prime spot where it was before.
Nature
of
the club in the bottom, right?
Not anymore. That was the exciting one. I can't think of where they called it. They called it something. I can't remember. But he said that it was there for a long time, and that's when it was bumping. It was really hot.
I remember Chris Reed from Kid and Play did that club. Sure. And he's an African-American, right? But
really?
He said that club, the club downstairs, he goes, man, bro, it turned into a ludicrous concert down there.
Yeah, he used to have all those guys.
Packed.
He said he ran a black club. He goes, and he used
packed.
To get, he used no to get hats in trouble. Allowed, though. Yeah.
No hats, no jerseys.
Yep. That's how they think they regulate things.
Yeah.
That guy Tori used to have to do that here on Fat Tuesday. He used to say, he used to put a... you know, implement a dress code so that he could eliminate certain aspects, he thought. I was like, there was still a shooting.
It doesn't change nothing, because now we have well-dressed thugs in here.
Sure, yeah. They're just covering up their tattoos with linen.
Yes.
They got a linen button-up shirt and everything. You know, you could still see. They're still fighting. It was still some fights. We only had one shootout with Guy, and that was Tupac's people. Oopsie.
I remember I was walking, and I saw somebody told me that Louis Farrakhan's son was there.
Oh, okay.
And
at the store, oh, wow.
At the Fat Tuesday, Louis, and then he came in a Ferrari, a red Ferrari. And I remember, like, his bodyguards, they're called Fruit of Islam.
Yeah.
They're the ones that killed Malcolm X, uh-huh. The Fruit of Islam. His bodyguard showed up. Like, there were 6'5" bodyguards, and they stopped Sunset from moving so Farrakhan's son can get out.
That's insane.
Like, they treated him like a political figure. Like, those guys came out and stopped both traffic, and they waited for the caravan to go out, and then the Ferrari after them. Then all the bodyguards drove out. Like, he was like the president of the United States.
In a fucking Ferrari? Like, that's the part that's angering me more than stopping the traffic. Yeah, because those people were supposed to be like, for, you know, we're all equal, this, you know what I'm saying? Like, religious, right? Aren't they?
Muslim.
Muslim.
And I'm thinking, wow, man, that's a lot of fucking bean pies they fucking sold. A lot of papers for this fool to have a Ferrari.
That's too many bean pies. That's what I'm saying. He's stealing the beans. That was supposed to be like kind of humbled, living regular people is what the few I've spoken to.
Yeah, that Ferrari could have served a lot of breakfast for inner city kids.
Oh, yeah. That's like the Vatican. I always get mad at the Vatican because it's such a big, you know, and there's so many. It's so expensive to keep. The upkeep. I mean, I get it. It's beautiful. And there's churches, but it can be kind of taken.
They're their own government, huh?
Oh, God, yeah.
I know. I read in a paper.
Are you
paper.
Catholic?
Yeah. Oh, I read on the internet that they stopped accepting cash at the Vatican because so much counterfeit. Oh. So everything is card now. They have ATMs.
Well, now they can track it better. So, yeah, everything has to be like that. There's so many places that don't accept cash. I wish we did that during Fat Tuesday. Every other Tuesday, I would have like $100 in fake fives. I'm like, what the fuck? Who's doing fives? God damn it. Yeah, I'm checking hundreds like something's happening. And then, you know, all the girls were fucked because it was like somebody was doing fives for a while.
And still didn't tip well with fives, huh?
No. It was
fucking
still
cheap motherfucker.
The five covered the drink.
See, so. People don't understand, man. When you, and I always talk about it in my act, when you have fake fives, fake 20s, don't use that on waitresses. That's a waste, man. Those girls work hard. You want to get rid of fake fives? Go to a strip bar.
Those girls work hard, too.
She's dancing and shit, the $5 turning into a peso.
That's amazing.
I can see the ink coming down her leg. Oh.
Have you done Diaz's podcast? I feel like you two would be ridiculous together. I've done Joey's a couple times, but I feel like you two would just fucking.
I do the wild Joe Diaz, like, you know what, cocksucker?
Yeah, yeah.
And Rodrigo Torres, my co-pilot on the podcast, he does the calm Joe Diaz. Let me tell you, bro.
Oh, I love that Joe Diaz.
He does
Diaz
that Joe Diaz.
When he's mellow.
Yeah, he does the good mellow Joe Diaz. I could do the loud. The guy that wants to fuck you, you know what, man? If I fucking see Cap right now, it's gonna be over, cocksucker. But he does that, and bro, you know, bro.
That's so funny. His
1975, bro. 1975, you know.
Yeah.
He does, I can't calm. Do the calm one. He does the good calm one.
Yeah.
He does the eyes, you know, bro. And
my brother Tommy, he listens to my podcast. He listens to a lot of like stuff with comics, and he's like, hey, who's that guy? He's like, I think he's Mexican, and you know, this is so white of him to say, I think he's Mexican, but he's a drug addict and he's from Jersey. And I'm like, I have no idea who you're talking about, right? And I'm just like, Mexican, drug addict, Jersey. And then Joe Diaz told me, I know he's from Jersey, but I just think of him as New York, like, because he's from Newark, like he's not Newark,
North Bergen,
yeah. But it's up, it's north, it's way close, it's 10 minutes outside of Manhattan. So I'm like, oh, wait, what? And then I realized, oh shit, it's Joe Diaz. He's not a drug dealer. He's Cuban. And he's not a drug addict anymore, whatever. But yeah.
I was caught in a tournament.
But every time he calls this radio station, my brother hears him and he tells these old crazy stories of fucking doing drugs. So Tommy thought he's still a drug addict. I'm like, no. He's sober. He's crazy, but he's fucking hilarious. Yeah, he's Cuban, right?
Yeah,
Cuban.
Cuban.
I love Joe Diaz. We did Philly together, a feature for him.
So it was just me and him. So it was like a cold kind of open. Nobody, like, I just go out to 30, and then he just went out and killed. My friends loved him. They were like, oh, fuck, this guy's great. Like, I had a lot of people come to see me, and then they were like, oh, because usually I'm with Dalmyrera, and that's like a South Philly guy. They know what to expect. But Joe Diaz, they were like, what the fuck was that? We love that. My brother Billy was trying to get him to go out and party. I'm like, no, he's staying here. Calm down. Anyway, thank you so much for
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So are you going to, I love working with you here. Like, I love that you've been, we did that All Things
Comedy.
That was
awesome,
huh?
You killed it, man.
Thank you, man. So much fun. I have to perform through Freddie, kind of. So I feel like I'm helping him keep it out there, if you will. But yeah, I love doing stand-up. It's 10 years. I've been doing it over 10 years now. So
I thought you were doing it for a long time.
No.
You were up there killing it like a person that's been doing it forever.
No, just, I mean, I'm lucky because I get to go out with Dice on the road a lot. And sometimes it pays to sleep around. So, but he takes me everywhere and his crowds are the hardest. So I feel like I got a crazy boot camp coming in.
Yeah.
And so it was like kill or be killed. And I just kept the stayed up, you know, so I didn't get killed.
I run in. That's good, man. That's good. You're doing well. You are funny.
Thank you. I appreciate it. That means a lot coming from you.
You and Rick killed on that show.
Oh, Rick's
I love
the fucking
you. I like his
man.
Crowd work.
Oh, yeah. He's
killing
ridiculous.
It. And then you went up and like. Because usually, like, it's been a while, you know, like, when you see, like, a lot of, you see, like, okay, she's going to kill. But, yeah, you killed. I knew you were going to kill, but I had to see it myself.
Yeah, that was a good crowd, too, though. And I love that the podcast does that. Like, the All Things Comedy does that. I think it's a monthly show where they just have different people that have a podcast on their network come in. And they all do stand-up. Like, Bill Burr, I think the first time he did it. And the first time they did it, and they called me, they were like, hey, you want to be on the show? It's All Things, and Bill's going to be on it. And I was like, fuck. This is the only, I was working on the Kid Rock cruise. And so I was like, shit, I'm thinking I can't cancel my Kid Rock cruise just to work with Bill Burr.
Yeah.
But I was so excited that he was going to be on it. But then when they did it, we got to do it. It was all us. So it was good. It was like Ari, because Shafir is a Comedy Store guy. Forever and ever. Mm-hmm. And I love that his thing is on All Things Comedy.
And
as well.
The Comedy Store podcast is on what network?
We're on All Things Comedy.
All Things
as
Comedy,
well.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's why we all,
cool.
You know, every time they call and change up the people because there's so many. You guys are on All Things.
Yes, we film every Wednesday.
Wednesday. What's the name of yours? What's Up
What's
Fool?
Up Fool What's Up podcast. Fool? This week we have Ahmed Ahmed.
Oh, I love Ahmed. Ahmed
La Colita.
Ahmed La Colita.
Remember the song? Mover La Colita. That song?
No.
He will come in and say, Ahmed, Ahmed, a mover la colita.
Why does everybody sing to him? I always sing to him, Ahmed, I said, to no one.
Rock me on my days. Rock me on my mama days.
I always sing to Ahmed. I love him. Ahmed, Ahmed's great. So you have every week, every Wednesday yours comes out? Okay. Ours is Thursday. We have Natasha Leggera last week.
We had her last week too.
Oh my God, that's awesome. Yeah,
they're
trying to promote their...
The honeymoon tour.
Yeah. So that's cool. Yeah. And Natasha plays Dice's girlfriend on his show.
Oh.
So yeah, so I love... It was promoting Dice too, technically. Because it starts 8/20, August 20th, the show comes out.
I saw Dice briefly in Miami when he was doing the Miami Improv.
Oh, okay.
Before they closed, me and Rodrigo, we got there the day before. So we went to go check him out. And man.
Who was opening? Was it Rick?
It was some white dude, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Who's from Florida, I think. I don't know his name.
Oh, okay. It could have been one of the Ernst brothers. Not Brett, the other one. Keith.
I don't know.
Think of his name. Yeah,
weed. And then.
How long ago?
Oh, man. It was like four years ago or three. Oh,
okay. It could have been Florentine, too. Jim Florentine.
And. He went up there, man. It was like a packed show. Because he did Miami one night. I guess it was like his off night. So he had it off. It was him by himself. Then after that, he went to Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah. Yeah,
the
I
casino,
remember that.
The Hard Rock. So he just did one nighter.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it was awesome. You know, it was like, I seen him perform here, but just trying out stuff.
Yeah, it's
I
different.
Never seen the full Dice Man set. And I remember, man, I'm getting the goosebumps talking about it because it was exciting, man. And when he started, he brought some guy on stage. You're trying to get laid with that fucking sweater? That fucking sweater says, keep off, bitches. Oh. Whatever. I kept making fun of this guy on stage. And then when he got to the nursery rhymes, the whole fucking place stood up. And
crazy.
I was like a fucking kid again, right?
Yeah.
You know, hickory, hey, whatever, right? And then we were all doing it. Man, I tweeted the next day, man. He goes, if you guys haven't seen a Dice Man lately, fuck you guys. The best show I've ever seen in my fucking life.
I love it.
And it was like being
that.
At a fucking summer camp with a bunch of fucking drunk adults.
Dude, and when they get into those rhymes, they're like kids again.
Yes.
Right. They're like, hickory, dickory, duck. I mean, they verbatim.
He turned us into groupies again.
Yeah.
We were waiting for him backstage. I was like looking for him, trying to get a handshake. He goes, oh, he's going to come out right now, man. He's going to get a towel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he would have came out knowing you're a comic.
So tell him we say he had an awesome set, but we'll talk to him next time then.
Yeah, anytime. I mean, he would love you. That's anytime young comics come, he gets excited. You know, like, hey, oh, that's awesome. You like me still. Like he's used to being like people that, you fucking bumped me, man. You bumped me for an hour. You know, people yell at him. But I love that you took it like, oh, I get a free show. Fuck
I get a free Dice Man show. I get a free Eddie Griffin show. Yeah. I'm going to learn something here.
And you did, man, because you're fucking hilarious.
Because I just waited.
It's so fun. Always been funny.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I'm glad. I'm thrilled that you came and did this. Thank you so much. What's your social media?
I'm at FelipesWorld.com, FelipesWorld, world. FelipesWorld.com. What's Up Food Podcast. I have an HBO special
coming out
September
right?
30.
I'm excited about
it. I DIY it.
Okay.
We sold it to them and they bought it. You know.
Yeah, it's Claude, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I
good guy,
things.
By the way.
I heard great things.
He's a good.
About
he's
podcast.
A good guy,
I'm
man.
Excited.
He's a good guy. So I'm excited about that.
He said it looks great. You were great. So I'm really thrilled for
it's
that.
It's called Translate This.
Fucking check that out because you guys will love that. All right. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you for having
Felipe.
Me. Eleanor and Rick Ingram.
Yes, Rick. I can't do a Rick impression. So Rick's upstairs. Rick's upstairs shitting on people in the main room. So thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, fool.
Thank you, fool.